Do you have what it takes to survive a dystopian or apocalyptic event? What will happen if everything that you ever knew was thrown out of the window, never to be seen again? Are you going to go through the storm, or are you going to succumb to it? Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
I am so excited that you are here with me today for this edition of the show. Can you believe it that the end of the year is just looking at us down the hallway? The Lord has brought us through a lot of things this year, y'all. I know you have been there. Some of you have had personal hurricanes in your life. Some of you have had hurricanes in your life. Some of you are dealing with the aftermath of all the different weather phenomena that we've had in the last few weeks. Some of you have to deal with earthquakes and the fires and so many things. So many of you are going through the storm right now. I'm going to tell you something. On Saturday for the Parker J. Cole Show, we are going to be doing a prayer broadcast. That's right. We're going to be praying for you. If you have any special prayer requests that you want us to do, let me know. You can PM me on Facebook. You can hit me at my email address, rightstuffradio@gmail.com. You want to Twitter me. You want to hit me wherever you want to hit me at. Just go to my website even. Just let me know. If you want us to pray for you, let me know. If you want to keep yourself anonymous, just put that in your prayer request as well. But the whole show is all going to be about prayer and praying for you. I'm very serious that prayer should not be our last line of defense. It should be our first weapon of attack. And so many of us pray at the end of the event or toward the 13th hour where you really got to have God show up. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to pray for you on Saturday. We're already praying for you anyway, but we're going to pray for you on Saturday. So I want to let you know that. Again, connect with me if you want us to pray for you specifically, or just listen in and be in agreement with us for prayer. We take this thing very seriously, that if the people will pray to the Lord, He will hear our prayer. Excuse me, He will hear our prayer. It may not be in the way we want it to be, but He will hear our prayers. The other thing I want to tell you is about my new releases. I know I promised you A Time to Say Goodbye back on August 8th, and then I had some setbacks. It will be coming out this month, October, next month, as well as my other story in the short story anthology, Java Cupid, coming out next month too. So I'm really excited to get those two releases out there. Thank you for those of you who have been wondering, what am I doing? What's taking so long for my next work? You guys really do keep me writing, and I appreciate your support. If you want to weigh in and talk to our guest co-host today, Kyle Pratt, you certainly can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 4.0. Glad you are here. I cannot wait to get into our story today because you know what? It is spanking brand new, hot off the press book by Kyle Pratt. Kyle Pratt specializes in speculative fiction. So if you like a faith with your speculative fiction, you definitely want to visit Kyle Pratt today. And this book, Through the Storm, is hot. I mean, hot. Like, he just dropped it today. And you want to visit him on kylepratt.me. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Kyle Pratt. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
And thank you so much for being with us on the show today. I'm so glad to have you. And I was looking forward to this show, especially since this book is hot off the press. And I really want people to know about your work, about the things you write about. We heard about you earlier. I believe it was in April or May. We heard about you through then. But now we have a chance to talk to you live and really get what and who Kyle Pratt is all about. So I'm really excited about that. So I can always read a bio, but I prefer you to tell me who you are in your own words. So go ahead and do that for me.
Oh, gosh. I'm a, well, I'm semi-retired. Let's start at the end. I did a 20-year stint in the military, and while in the Navy on board ships, I started writing short stories. It's something to keep me busy. There isn't a lot to do on a ship when you're not actually on duty. And so that was the thing, sitting in my bunk, writing stories. And I think that gave me a bit of a framework for my military and my science fiction outer space stories. But then after I retired, I worked as a teacher, actually went up to Alaska and taught in an Eskimo village school for several years. And while I was there, I continued to write and kept working on it. And eventually I released, indie published a science fiction book. It's done okay, but not great. But then when I got into the post-apocalyptic genre, that really took off. And now I do that pretty much full time.
You know, you mentioned about how when you get into the apocalyptic and the dystopian genre, how it really took off. Do you think people are just waiting for an apocalyptic or dystopian event to happen? You think we're just slathering for the world to go to kaput? What do you think about that?
Well, I think in a world where there's things like North Korea, Iran, new diseases, worries about the economy, you know, 20 trillion dollars in debt the U.S. is, I think people are legitimately worried. And that's what I try and take a realistic situation and build it into a story. But I always try and keep it very realistic. I kid in some of my blog posts and stuff that no zombies, no werewolves. Yeah, this is real. Yeah. So, yeah, I think people are concerned, and if you can write about that, and I try to write a story, and of course it's about a survivor, because if they don't survive, wouldn't be much of a story, would it?
Yeah, it'd be a very short story.
Very short, yes, exactly. Flash fiction. This person is not your superhero. Matter of fact, in the latest story, he's a financial planner, but he's been worried about things. People have called him paranoid, and so he's tried to prepare. But again, he's not special forces. He's, you know, not a super shot. He's a financial planner, but he's concerned. And so when the EMP happens and burns out modern technology, he has some ideas, but it's all scaring him. It's all daunting for him, and he's got to overcome it. Yeah. So
you know,
that's where my writing comes from.
What's interesting, and this is like the second show where this has happened, where here we are talking about Through the Storm, and we planned this show months ago. We planned on doing this show months ago. And with all these hurricanes that happened, I really think it's not a coincidence that we are talking about things that are really hitting people. Like, right, your book is saying Through the Storm, and someone right now is living through the storm and through the aftermath of the storm. So you started to get the idea for your title. What were you thinking as you were writing the book, getting the idea for your title, not knowing that this will ever apply to real current events going on right now?
Yeah, you're right. The storm in the title actually comes from the idea of a storm on the sun. But the hurricanes are a good analogy there in that people who are prepared can deal with a storm, wherever it comes from. And in Texas and in Florida, if you had supplies, you're not in a panic the next day. If you don't have supplies, the next day you're thirsty and you're hungry. And in my book, that happens, well, to the world. What do you have the day after everything is ruined?
I think that is something that we all need to look at when we face with these very real situations. I was thinking about, like you said, the whole nuclear war thing, which, to be quite honest with you, I was more worried about nuclear war than, and I probably shouldn't say this, someone thinks I'm making small people's concerns about it, but I was more worried about nuclear war and nuclear weapons and people who are in positions of leadership throwing bombs around than anything else, you know. And I'm looking like I would think we should focus on, you know, all of us dying, you know what I mean? You know, if they throw a bomb, all of us can be affected. Do you think with a lot of political correctness and rhetoric going on right now, it's almost like we're being distracted from real issues? I know you say you like to write about real issues and real things happening. And do you think just a lot of this stuff is just something to distract us from what's really important?
Well, I definitely think the NFL debate is a distraction. Yes. A lot of times I think Congress focuses on the minor thing instead of the big thing. And there are some really huge things out there that eventually one of them is going to bite us.
Yeah.
Congress and the president worry about other things.
And that's what I think. And mind you, I'm not going political. Y'all have fun with that. I'm not doing all that, but I refuse to. A lot of people, I've been, you know, criticized for not being very political on my show. I have different views on my show, Kyle, but I'm not being criticized upon my own thoughts. I said it's because, you know, I have my own thoughts and I'm open to correction. I don't think anyone has the answers for Jesus Christ, and we need to pray to him.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's how I feel about it, but I'm open to, you know, discussion about these type of things. But, you know, and through the storm, what's happening here is that there's a coronal mass ejection. And I've seen this scenario in a lot of sci-fi movies. You know, I'm a sci-fi chick, and I've seen it in a lot of sci-fi episodes, movies, Outer Limits, was it The Knowing with, who is it, Nicolas Cage, and stuff like that. So I've seen this aspect of a disaster happening with the coronal mass ejection. Why this and not a space invasion? Why do that?
Well, again, I try to keep it real. Coronal mass ejections and the EMP effect have happened in the past. I think it was 1859, the Carrington event. You can look it up online. It set off telegraphs all over the world at the time. But there was no modern technology, computer chips, iPhones, microwaves, or cell phone towers, any of that stuff for it to interfere with and destroy. And so it was an interesting event, but, you know, it was a historical footnote until just recently when they noticed during, in the early days with nuclear bomb tests when they were above ground back in the day, that equipment was getting burned out that wasn't affected by the blast itself. And eventually they figured this out, and now it's considered a viable weapon. And a number of nations that aren't friendly to us are working on perfecting it as a weapon.
So you're talking about, okay, maybe I'm on the wrong foot here. So how can you weaponize a natural thing from the sun? Maybe I'm misunderstanding what you mean.
Well, this, I use the sun in my story because it can do it on a mass scale. It could. The sun is so huge, and it throws off high-energy plasma with, well, the storms, the coronal mass ejections are bigger than the planet Earth. So if they slam into the Earth, it affects the entire planet. Now, we can't do that. But if you wanted to, say, take a missile and explode it over the central part of the United States, let's say 200 miles above Kansas City, you could take out the whole central half of the United States, the technology in half of the United States, burn it out from southern Canada to northern Mexico and from the Rocky Mountains to the Appalachian Mountains.
I see. So you're talking about EMP.
Technology ceases to exist. Yeah, because a nuclear bomb has the same effect on a smaller scale than the sun. I just used the sun because I didn't want any help in the story to.
We do so well on our own. You know what I mean? We do so well screwing up things on our own. Okay, so that's, I find that fascinating because a lot of fiction, and this is just a general, not even in like Christian fiction, but in regular secular fiction or whatever people like to read, the whole idea of surviving an event where everything you know is gone. I remember how you said Neil is a financial planner, and I couldn't help but kind of chuckle to myself because I work in finances as well. In my day job, I work in the real estate industry. And I've been in finances since I started working, so I've always been in it in an administrative capacity, but I've always worked in it. So over time, you start to, you know, understand what's on CNBC. You know, you start to understand a little bit. So anyway, and I was thinking, like, what would happen to me if I come home from a long day at work, sit down, put my computer down, and then I can't turn it on? And then you look up, you're like, oh, we won't be able to go back to work now, you know? So that type of mass event to happen, and it happened to normal people like me, because I know for sure I'm no Arnold Schwarzenegger. I am not good in a medical emergency. If you have a cut, you need to go to a doctor. Do not come to Parker. I cannot help you, okay? I can talk to strangers, but I will not be able to help you with that Band-Aid. I'm so backwards. I just don't have it, Kyle, you know? And so you take these real people, like Neil Evans in your book, Through the Storm. You take real people and then to say, here, work it out. That's basically what happens, you know. And we're going to talk
about
that.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah.
That's good. And we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break with my guest co-host and contributor today, Kyle Pratt. If you want to weigh in, you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Coe, hashtag right stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of 1 million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I'm having just a fun time talking to Kyle Pratt today about his new hot off the press Ink Just Drying on the Pages Through the Storm. It is available on Amazon.com. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to love on my brother today and get a copy of his book, Through the Storm, especially those of you who are preppers and those of you who like to read apocalyptic fiction with a faith message to it. Go ahead right now, get a copy of Kyle's book, Through the Storm. And don't forget to view his website. His website is kylepratt.me. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle on Kindle. Let me tell you, you're going to love his book. You're going to love his story. One thing he loves to do is take regular people like you and me and put them in situations like his book, Through the Storm. And one thing that you mentioned before the break, Kyle, was the fact that, you know, normal people are going through extraordinary situations. I can't help but think of Twilight Zone, Rod Serling. I can't help but think of that. He would put normal people in these extraordinary situations. And here we have an extraordinary situation where life as we know it is gone. Now, people think that they could survive an apocalyptic event like a coronal mass ejection. What do you think? Do you really think we are equipped for that, or is it really on an individual basis?
Are we equipped for that?
Yeah, do you think we as people?
Not as a society, no. I think more people are interested in getting ready now than in the past, like the 80s or the 90s. I think it's becoming more mainstream, but most people aren't. When I lived in Southern California, and this would have been the late 70s, early 80s, we had a power outage in my neighborhood. It just took out, several hundred homes. And I was literally passing out candles to my neighbors. And you'd think in Southern California, Los Angeles, that people would be ready. I mean, it is an earthquake zone. But no, most people didn't even have a candle.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You know,
so I try to be ready. You know, I'm not crazy. I don't live in a log cabin out in the middle of the woods far away from everybody. I've got neighbors and, you know, friends, and I commute into town most every day. But, you know, if things went bad today, I wouldn't be hungry or thirsty tomorrow or the next day or the next day after that. You know, you try to do what you can.
Right. Right. I agree with you there. You do try to do what you can to help people. That's all you can do. Or to help yourself first, because you got to think about numero uno, you know. You got to think about that.
And then be able to, if you help yourself, if you've taken care of yourself, then you can help others. Yes. If I didn't have extra candles, I couldn't have passed them out. Yeah.
Yeah, because you at least have enough for yourself. Where do you store stuff like that? Because the thing about preppers is that they have mass storage of where they're going to have this stuff at. I'm not saying you're a prepper. Some people are diehard preppers. You know, they have the bunker, they have the zombie cage and everything else, you know. But where do you store stuff like that? Just as we talk about the reality of getting ready for, you know, God forbid that we have a nuclear war. God forbid, you know. But if someone's throwing bombs out there, you know, what are some ways that people can prepare, like, in going through this storm?
Well, I would call myself a prepper, actually.
You would call yourself a prepper? Okay.
I would, yeah. And again, I've met them that are, you know, crazy over the top, and I've met them that are, you know, in name only. I guess I'm somewhere in between. I'm interested in the topic. I read about the topic. That's why I write about the topic. But to begin with, I mean, you just start out by buying a little extra food, so it's no problem. You store it on a shelf somewhere. And as you go on, you acquire more things. You know, the battery-powered radio, collects light and turns it into energy. Solar panels for charging your phone or your radio. You know, you can buy these on Amazon. You know, extra medical supplies. So beyond the Band-Aids, you know, what if you got a serious cut? And I live out in the country, not very far, but if something bad happened, I'd want to be able to take care of it before I got to the hospital or an EMT got to me. So you just start collecting that stuff and you put it where you can. Eventually, we remodeled the house, not for prepping, but for other stuff that needed to be done. And one of the things we did was build a big closet with lots of shelves.
Okay.
And all it is, it could have been a walk-in closet. But, yeah, that became our storeroom for stuff like that. But, I went all my adult life sticking the stuff, you know, in my closet, filling up the pantry with stuff and underneath our beds in some cases.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I like that, because I'm learning while I'm talking to you right now, making mental notes, because I want to be prepared. And you, I don't know, is it really building into fear to be a prepper? Like, are you building into the fear that this is not an if, it's a when? Or are you just being not overly cautious, but just being cautious? I mean, you hope that you never need it, or do you hope that you need it? You know?
I look at it as insurance. You know, you buy fire insurance hoping you'll never need it, but would you be comfortable without it? So,
true.
Yeah.
True.
If you have, and I know many people like this who have literally one day of food in the house. Okay, I wouldn't be comfortable that way. You know, every day I had to go out and shop for that day because I just never got ahead of it, I would be uncomfortable. And so I know. To give you a real life example, I'm teaching up in Eek, Alaska, so I am miles away from anybody, and happen to be watching the news, and they carry a story that my area where I live has had serious flooding. So, of course, I immediately get on the phone to call my wife. Can't get through. So the next day I finally get through, and she says, yeah, it's completely flooded all around us. We happen to, our house happens to be on a hill. So she said, I'm an island. Can't get out. But she said, I've got what I need. And several days before the waters went down and she could drive out, but she had what she needed. And it's nice to know. Before I got a hold of her, I knew the house should be fine and she has what she needed, but it was nice to hear her say that.
You know, though, I think in your book, and as we talk more about through the storm, I think in your book, there are times when you're not prepared for the storm. Now, in this case, you're talking about coronal mass ejection from the sun. But I think in real life, there are times storms come upon you suddenly. And no matter how much preparation you have, sometimes the storm is just going to keel over and just knock your foundation out. And so as we go to the characters of Neil, Drake, and Connor, I think there's three characters here. Like I said, it's hot off the press. I have my copy. For those of you listening, I have my copy of Kyle's book, and I can't wait to start reading it. But you know, you're going through the storm here, and you're going through that. What are some thoughts that Neil, Drake, and Connor are having? What are thoughts that people have when they're going through, whether it's a real storm like Hurricane Irma and the one that was in Puerto Rico and the one that was in Texas and all the other places? What are some of the thoughts they're going through their minds? I kind of know, but maybe some of us were unaffected by these storms, and those were. So what kind of thoughts are going on there?
Well, absolutely. Storms do happen that will just knock you off base, and you can only be so prepared. You can't be prepared for everything in life, and I don't even try. Some people do, but I don't even try. There is a point where you say, I've taken the reasonable precautions. Now I have to trust in the Lord to get me through this. And I'm perfectly comfortable with that. In the book, Neil is perhaps the most prepared, the dad. He has supplies in his car, some basic supplies, what they call in the prepping world his go bag. He has that. But he has perhaps the furthest to go. His son, Connor, has practically nothing, and he went off on a hunting trip he wasn't supposed to. His dad told him to stay home, but while dad's away, 18-year-old son decides to go off and do something, leaving the 15-year-old there with the instructions not to burn down the house.
Right.
And
a real-life scenario. A real-life scenario.
Yeah, I thought so. But, the 15-year-old is completely oblivious when it all begins. He has the supplies that are in the house because Dad was a prepper, but he has the least understanding. He had no interest in it before, and so now he's trying to figure out things as he goes along. Connor's on a long hike home from one direction, while his father, with more supplies, is on a longer hike back from another direction. So that's the gist of the story. And so in their own ways, they're all kind of thrown a loop, and they've got to make do.
Wow. I like the symbolism just in their journeys. And I know we haven't gotten into the book yet, but just in their journeys, I like the symbolism that's going on there. You know, I was laughing because, you know, like you said, he was supposed to go. He's like, don't burn down a house, you know. I wouldn't hate to say that, but that's essentially what the thought is. And I was thinking about how many times we don't prepare to go through the storm. I think some of us think that God is a Santa Claus that's just going to give us whatever we want, have an easy life. And, you know, I can't help but think of how the Lord, when he spoke to Pharaoh about the houses, and which was built on a right foundation, and the houses that were built on a bad foundation, and how using that parable is telling us that there are going to be storms in your life, that you should be on a right foundation. Tell us how, if that was part of your thought process as you were writing through the storm?
That we need to be on a good foundation? Yes. I always try to include those kind of principles in the story. I write for a general audience, but I am a Christian. And so I don't do it explicitly. I do it many times in themes that Christians will definitely recognize and thoughts that hopefully resonate with other people. In Through the Storm, the person with the most faith is Neil's wife, but she died several years before. And she died, somebody mugged her, and she ended up getting knifed. And anyway, she died badly. Neil, it hurt Neil very deeply, that event. But he, as things go wrong for him, he's looking back at his wife and her faith, and he's drawing bits out of it just because he looks back at his wife for a sense of direction, a sense of normalcy. So anyway, yes, I definitely want to put those themes in the story, but just under the radar, you might say.
Right. Right. I was thinking about when you said that you're a Christian who writes for the general market, and that's a hot topic right now. Even in Christian circles, it's a hot topic because some people, there are Christians who love the Lord. They love the Lord so much, you know, but they don't want to write Christian fiction, you know. They want to write what they want to write. Like I know one young lady, she writes young adult paranormal stuff. Nothing after all crazy, but, you know, that's what she likes to write. I know another young lady who writes paranormal fantasy romances, you know. And these are Christians who love the Lord. And so I want to speak to those Christian authors out there because I want to encourage them that you can write for the general market if you want to, you know, and if you feel as if what you want to do, then go ahead and do it. So I want to encourage them out there because some people say, you know what, I don't want to write Christian fiction. And that's to me, to be quite honest with you, Kyle, that's fine. You know, write the stories that are in you. You know what I mean? But go ahead and speak to them out there because they want to be encouraged too.
Well, I definitely agree with you that you write the story that God has given you. I feel I want to write for the widest possible audience to get the Christian theme out there and to, in a way, instruct the world to raise that awareness. When you read through my story, you're going to be thinking, what would I do? Or if this happened to me, could I deal with it? And hopefully certain things that happen, you'll say, okay, I need to be ready for that. And so the themes of Christian faith, Christian believers, even occasionally a scripture that I put in the story, are put in there a way that the general audience, the non-Christian, will read it. It'll be there, but it won't cause them to reject the story, to throw out the baby with the bathwater, to use a cliche.
Right.
They'll go through my story. Again, in Through the Storm, Neil's wife has ideas, I'm trying to think of how I phrased one of them, and of course it's not coming to me right now.
Because you're looking for it, that's why.
Yes. as soon as we're done with this program, it'll pop into my mind. But basically it's that worry, that you shouldn't worry, that you should put your trust in God. And so Neil's trying to focus on that, because he's terrified by the things that are happening around him. Well, again, that mention of that in the flow of the story will perhaps resonate with somebody, but it's just part of the flow of the story. So the reader moves on, and I want to do that so that a lot of general audience won't pick up a Christian book, a book that's labeled
right.
Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so the general audience reads it, and perhaps they're influenced, but at least they've read it, and it's increased their awareness. And the Christian will say, aha, I know what he's doing there. I know what he's referring to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like your strategy. And I think it's a good strategy. Because to be quite frank with you, like, I have a very open palate when it comes to reading. So I read both secular books and Christian books. You know what I mean? So I have a very open palate to that. But some people are very dogmatic about what Christian fiction is, what Christians should be doing, stuff like that.
Yes.
So always when I invite people to my show, Kai, I always say I support people who are writers who are Christian or Christian writers. It depends on how you want to be. You know what I mean? And so
yeah.
That's what I like about what you're doing here Through the Storm, that you're a Christian, you're not being overt about it, but people who are Christian pick up on it. And maybe a little bit of that subtlety is going to drift to a non-believer who's reading your book. And maybe this can be a form of ministry to them. I know that you've been writing for some time. I know that when we first talked to you earlier this year, you talked about how, you know, books were just the best thing that ever happened to you. You started reading. Because
yes.
You had nothing else to do. It was like either stare at a wall or read, you know? And so I remember when you talked about that. And so when readers respond to your books, I know we haven't got too much response yet for Through the Storm because it just came out. But when readers respond to your book, what do they say about your writing? What do they say about your talent, things of that nature?
The vast majority, thankfully, is mm-hmm. very affirmative. I do occasionally get Christians who will write in and say things like, I appreciate that there's no profanity. That is one rule I make for myself. I'm just not going to do it. Sex is handled in a tasteful manner,
mm-hmm.
mostly off screen. Matter of fact, a joke among some of my friends is, that I wrote the line, they kissed, and that was it. and so, yeah, so whatever we talk about romance and writing, somebody will say, and they kissed. I do more than that, but it has become the joke, and I always try to be very tasteful. I don't want Christians to ever reject my story because it goes against their moral and religious beliefs. I that would bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate it when they write in and they acknowledge that I've succeeded there.
Mm-hmm.
I have totally forgotten your question.
Well, no, you answered it. You answered it because you talk about how people respond to your books and stuff and your work. And it's funny because I'm a romance novelist. I write Christian romances. Sometimes I write edgy Christian romances. And me, I like to see the romantic tension between characters. So for me, I'm like, they kiss. What is that? You know, but at the same time, everyone's not called to do the exact same thing, you know. And so I like that you do. I think that's hysterical because I actually did I did something like that recently. I can't remember it now, but I love that. I actually love it. I actually read a book recently where they said they kissed. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is all we get from this story. So,
yeah, I ended up deleting that line just because it became such a funny thing. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It kind of distracted me. I love it, Kai. I love when we have these discussions. And what I want to do is take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more to Kyle Pratt, more about his books, what's coming up for him next, things of that nature. You still have time to weigh in on our topic. Call in at 646-668-8485. Then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. We will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm so glad you are joining me for this exciting edition of The Right Stuff. I have been having such a good time with my guest co-host and contributor, Kyle Pratt. He is the author of several speculative fiction books for your enjoyment. And guess what? You can get them all by visiting his website, kylepratt.me. And you can also follow him on Twitter at Kyle on Kindle. Let me tell you, you're going to be just really inspired by his work. So go ahead and get a copy of his books today. And you know what you can do? You can get a copy of his book today. It just released today, hot off the press, called Through the Storm. It's available online or wherever books are sold. And Kyle, once again, thank you for being with me. Thank you for joining me, just having this wonderful time talking to you. And I can't wait to tell our listeners what your next projects are. But before I do that, I want to read a comment that we got from Christian in Columbus, Ohio. Christian says, and when I asked the question of, do you think you have what it takes to survive an apocalyptic or dystopian event, Christian says, other than faith, not yet. Fund shortage, health restrictions, and area limitations, inner city area. That's what Christian says. And Christian, thanks for joining in the conversation and letting us know. What do you think about that, Kyle? Do you think just most of us are in that predicament where, you know what, I'll through faith, I'll be fine, you know, basically like that. So what are your thoughts about Christian's response to that question?
Well, faith is huge, and mm-hmm. it's necessary, but we're never promised that we're not going to be put in danger, distress, or even be killed. The early Christians faced lions in the Colosseum. It happened. So while God is our ultimate redeemer, and if we hold on to our faith, He will see us through into eternity, that's true. But again, if we can do what we can to prepare, and again, I'm not talking going crazy here, but just insurance. And even, I lived in Los Angeles. I had extra food, candles, batteries for my radio, things like that, basic things. I think we should all have those things. Mm-hmm. I also lived in Tokyo for 6 years, and there,
earthquakes. The
yes. yeah, 6 years in Tokyo, and earthquakes and a massive population in a very dense area. But you do what you can. Yeah, so. I find that cool. Insurance. Yeah.
I find it cool that you lived in Tokyo for six years because I took Japanese for 4 years. And I love Japanese. It's gone. Of course, it's rusty when you don't use it all the time. But as soon as you said it, I said, oh, my gosh, I have a sinus. You know, I know what that means.
I recognized good morning, but I've forgotten most everything I knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're like, don't ask. You will never find out. I'll never be a translator. Well, not yet. I'm learning Japanese. I'm learning Korean right now just because of my natural interest in the language, you know. And so I like that you said that, you know, like if you try to prepare, you can't prepare for everything. Like I said earlier in the broadcast, you can't prepare for everything, but you can do the best that you can. And so with that in mind, I know people who are listening in, when they read the book, they want to prepare for the next. So go ahead and tell us what your next projects are.
Okay. Well, my next project is related to the book Through the Storm. I had a number of people ask me about a particular character in the book. Matter of fact, I'll name him. His name's Major Franklin. He's a military man who comes up in the book. And people wanted to know more. And I thought, you know, that would be a fun story to do, just a smaller one. And so the book Through the Storm is not formatted in the usual way. Most books, chapter one, chapter two, like that. Through the Storm is formatted by days. It starts out with day zero, the last day before the storm hits, and day one is the day that it hits, and it goes through about 2 weeks of the life of the three characters. Well, I'm going to do Major Franklin. I'm going to show where he was when the storm hit and take him through the same days. And then eventually, in what's going to be the second official book, I'm going to bring him together with Neil's family. I think it'd be an interesting. People who've read the books will recognize all the characters as they come finally together in one place. And, of course, the story, the long-term story, which I hope to bring out in a series of 5 books, is going to be how society rebuilds over time after everything's been stripped away.
Fascinating stuff there, and I can't wait for you to get those out there. So for those of you who are prepping, you want to prep for Kyle Pratt's books. And while you're waiting for him to get this other book out, make sure you visit his website, kylepratt.me, and follow him on Twitter at Kyle on Kindle. I think I'm going to be more than surprised by his book, so go ahead and get a copy of it. I know when we were on the show before, you were just releasing Seekers of Earth, and now you're going to be doing this this book and everything. I got to ask you a question. For me, it is easier for me to write 100,000 words than it is for me to write 5,000 words, okay? I can talk to, you know, you say, please, either shut up or kill me. You know what Parker that you can do. But do you find it easy to write shorter stories, or does it matter? Can you write with ease either one? What do you think?
I've never been able to turn off my internal editor. Some people can write 100,000 words, but they have to go back and edit it very carefully. I'm the kind of person who, you know, my wife comes into the office in the afternoon and says, "Well, how have you done?" And, you know, I've been working on this paragraph for an hour now. I need to get it just right. It usually isn't quite that bad, but I've never.
Oh my gosh! This sentence ends on a preposition.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I used that word in the last page, so I don't want to use that particular word there, but what's a synonym?
I love it. See, my editor, the more I write, I do find myself editing more as I write, even though when I first started writing, it was just get it done, let someone else look at it. But the more you start to self-edit, I think that just lets you know that you're becoming more firm in your own writing style, and you know how you want things to sound like. I think that's a sign of maturity. I hope as our listeners are listening in, you know, Kyle, the show is all about encouraging authors, and that over time, you start to understand what your style is. You want people to, or you want your style to grow and develop and change. I remember I was talking to one author. Her name is Tosca Lee, New York Times bestselling author. Her book just got signed up to become a TV show. Just a wonderful woman of God. And she said, when I first started writing, I was very descriptive. She said, over time, she doesn't do that anymore. She's not as descriptive because people want to get to the meat of the story. And I was thinking about that just for myself, like, how can I use one word instead of two, you know? And, like, if you know, I know you probably see the same thing as we get right in our show. It's kind of like just writer stuff that I want our writers to understand. You'll eventually develop your own style, but you can't develop it if you don't write anything. You know, you can't develop it if you continue to say, I wish I was a writer. I wish I could write. I wish my book was out there. I wish someone could read this. So in the few moments we have left, Kyle, what I would like you to do is just encourage our authors out there who want to write to pick up the pen and do so.
Well, that is a huge part of it. So many people have great ideas for stories, but they either feel that they can't write, but they've never tried, or they try, but they never get to the end of the story. So I would encourage you, if you've got a story that God has laid on your heart, then write it. Start at the beginning. That's usually the best place to start, and then just go through it. If you run into a problem, what I do, I don't really get writer's block, but I don't know what I'm going to write for the next sentence, but there's usually something either later in that chapter or in a next chapter that I can write, and so I start writing there. So I'm stuck in midway in chapter 5, so I start writing chapter 6, and I work on that. Then I say, okay, how do I bring that place in chapter 5 to chapter 6? And usually I can do it pretty handily. But you work your way through, and it may take for that first book, it may take several years even. But when you get it done, there's a great, I think, relief in having written.
I like how you end that. There's a great relief. And you know what the relief is that you accomplish exactly what you said you would do, which is write a book. And so, you know, with that in mind, Kyle, I want to thank you so much for being with me on this show. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm so glad you allowed me to showcase you this book that just came out today on the show. I really am glad that you did that. So thank you for being with me on the show today.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you having me back.
We were talking today to Kyle Pratt. He is the author of the book Through the Storm. It is hot off the press, fresh. That means it dropped down today. You can go ahead and get a copy of this book by going to Amazon or wherever books are sold. If you want to follow Kyle, you can go to his website, kylepratt.me. You can also follow him on Twitter at Kyle on Kindle. He has lots of books out there. So go ahead, get a copy today, and make sure, like I always say, leave a review. Authors need reviews. It lets us know that what we set out to do, we did. And if you feel that we didn't do, maybe we can take the constructive criticism that you give us, we can better the work. But we don't know how well we're doing if you don't leave a review. It helps us breathe at night, helps us sleep at night when we get reviews. So I want to make sure that you love my brother today and get a copy of Through the Storm. I can't wait to read it, and I would love to. I'm going to leave a review with Kyle, let him know how I felt about it as well. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. Don't forget, on Saturday, we're going to have our prayer broadcast. So bring your request to the Lord. We're going to pray for you. If you want to remain anonymous, make sure you just say that when you reach out to me. I just want to let you know that we do care here at PJC and that we do love and think about you all the time. Thanks for joining me for this edition. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.